Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. I don't know about you guys. Some of you are like this, and I hope that you'll actually be honest, men. I have a pretty good moral compass, but when it comes to directional compasses, I'm horrible. I'm just going to tell you. I can't east and west and north and south. I know the sun rises in the east, it sets in the west. But if you handed me something and said I needed to go west to go do this and I'll get head north or south, I'm like going, huh? Are you kidding me? When I really get distressed if someone says, well, you need to go down 2 blocks, turn to the right, go down 4 blocks, make another left, and then at that point you're going to go east and look for old man Joe. He's going, stop. Will you just get in the car and go with me? Better yet, send me the address and Siri's going to go with me. She's going to help me get to where I got to go. Listen, some of you are like that in the real world. Some of you are sitting in a world today, though, where you're truly looking for direction. You're not sure where to go. You're not sure what to do. You may feel like you're isolated. You may feel like you're sitting alone. You may be feeling like, does nobody understand what's happening with me? God, is this really where you want me? Why do you have me here? I don't understand this. Well, I think today, the psalm that we're going to be looking at, and here's what I want to make sure. You probably have heard of Psalm 23. You've probably even recited it. Many of you may have grown up. Listen, while Matt was reading that psalm, my mind went back to OKJV, King James Version. What I remembered growing up. But I want to ask you today, as we read this psalm, as we study this psalm, and a psalm is a song, and in the Bible, whenever there's a song, it's probably a prayer. So it's a prayer that is sung. As we read this today, as we talk about this, I think we're going to find some direction. I think we're going to begin to understand who the shepherd is and what the shepherd does and why he gives us what it is that he gives us and the places that he leads us. But I need to ask you to do something. The tendency is, speaking of directions, have you ever driven somewhere so often a well-worn path that you forget about what's all around you? It's like it just fades to the background. And at some point, you kind of catch yourself and you go, when did I get here? How did I pass that? I don't remember what. That's what could happen today as we read this passage because it's so familiar if we're not careful. So here's what I want to ask you to do. If you got a piece of paper, a pen, thumb some notes, highlight, I want you to be engaged because I want you to put your ears on to hear in a way that maybe you've not heard before. I don't mean like, oh, this is new. Lord, I want you to speak to me as if this is the very first time I've heard this. That's what we're asking today. A couple of really quick things that I want us to see in here. Here's the first thing that I want you to catch that the psalmist, David, is writing. Number one is this, is that the shepherd provides. The shepherd provides for us. I think it's important to see the very first thing. Notice the very first line that he says here. He says, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is, whenever you see that in the scripture, that's God's personal, that's his holy name. That is Yahweh. That is the name that most Hebrews did not speak. This is Yahweh the Supreme. This is his high holy name. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Here you have King David who is writing, and he says that the king who's writing needs a king. The leader of the people needs to be led. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't know about you guys, but I find myself oftentimes getting my eyes not on the shepherd, but on other sheep going, they got that. It makes me feel like I need that. If you don't believe me, you just start looking around at your own life and check your credit card statement for how many times Amazon is on there. I mean, I shall not want. You know, in the New Testament, the New Testament is written in Greek. We have it in English, but it's written in Greek. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew. The Hebrew phrase here for I shall not want is better translated in the direct language of Hebrew, I lack nothing. I lack nothing. Listen, you and I, we may look around and get our eyes on all this stuff and think, I've got to have this. I've got to have this. Or I want this. And the psalmist tells us this, because the Lord is our shepherd, as a follower of Jesus, because the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I lack nothing. This is language that goes back even into the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. Moses has got the people. He's got all the people lined up. They're about to go into the promised land. He doesn't get to go because he got in his anger. Do you remember in his anger, he took his rod and he struck a rock. And the Lord God said, hey, because you didn't trust me, you're not going to go into the promised land. The Lord let him see the promised land. He assembled the people, told them they're about to have a new leader that's going to lead them in. And he said, listen, I want to remind you that for 40 years, our shepherd led us through the desert. And we lack nothing. We had food. We had water. Our sandals never wore out. I lack nothing. Folks, today, I don't know where you're sitting. You may be sitting in a relationship lack. You may be sitting in a financial lack. You may be sitting in a job lack. You're thinking, but can I tell you where you are today? The Lord knows exactly where you are. And he says, you lack nothing. Nothing. Why? Because the Lord is our shepherd. And then he goes on to tell us how he provides things. Look at what he provides for us. It says he, I want you to write these or circle these down, highlight them or something, because I don't want you to forget these. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Look at all the things that he provides. He provides green pasture. He provides rest. He provides leadership. He provides still waters. He provides restoration of our soul. He provides paths of righteousness, paths that he wants us to lead on. Listen, all throughout the scripture, God has used the picture from the very beginning of the Bible of a shepherd because he wants us to catch something. All the way from Abel to Abraham to Moses to Joseph, now even into David. He says, listen, the Lord God provides all that we need because a shepherd provides everything that a sheep needs. And I want to start with paths of righteousness. Can I start there? Because a shepherd never just wanders around. A shepherd knows where the green pastures are and where the still waters are. You know why? Because his sheep need food and water. He leads him in well-worn paths. You know, your shepherd, as a follower of Jesus Christ who have submitted their lives, did you realize that the path that you're walking on today is the path that the Lord God has directed already? Amen. He has ordered all of our steps before a day of one of them has happened. This should take comfort for us that he already knows. He's leading in me in paths of righteousness, right living. He's leading me there. And where is he leading me? He's leading me to green pastures. Still waters, food, physical. He provides for us. But he also provides spiritually. You know that this picture of green pastures and still waters is a picture of rest. I don't know about you guys, but oftentimes this time of the year in the summer, we've had vacation Bible school, we've had camps, we've had vacation, we've had running, we've got ball games, we've got this, we've got that. And you get to the end of the summertime, which was supposed to be rest, and you're going, ooh, I need some rest. Oftentimes, when we are sitting in an isolated spot, in a dark spot, we're sitting in a place where we're needing answers, we do what we used to say in East Texas. You run around with like a chicken with its head cut off. You're just running in different directions trying to figure out. And our shepherd says, rest. Rest. I've provided for you a green pasture. I've provided for you still waters. Eat and drink and follow my path. The path that I've put you on, the path that I have walked, the path that you can trust because I've walked it before you. In fact, Hebrews tells us that we have a high priest a shepherd, a high priest who shepherds our soul, who's experienced all that we've experienced. Therefore, we can trust him. You realize that sheep need a shepherd they can trust. You know how they trust him? Because they know that he's going to provide for them. He's going to lead them. He's going to give green pastures, food. He's going to give water. And when that happens, they follow the shepherd. You know why the shepherd does that? Because the sheep need it. The sheep need food. The sheep need water. The sheep need rest. The sheep need restoring. Listen, I don't know about you, in my own personal life, when things are anxious, I'm running around, I don't know what to do, my anxiety goes up, my health goes down. I don't function the way that the Lord has designed me to function because I'm trying to do what only the shepherd can do. Do you know the same thing is true for sheep? When sheep don't eat, they don't drink, they get anxious, they run off, they're not able to produce the very thing that the shepherd has caused them and created them to produce. Not only is it for their good, notice what he says here in this passage. He says it is for his name's sake. Did you realize you hear me say all the time, that what the Lord God designed for us, the path that he's put us on, is for our good and for his glory. Thank you. Some of you have been listening to that. For his glory. He does all of that for his name's sake. He, the shepherd, cares for us so we can cast our cares upon him. The scripture tells us in the New Testament that Jesus said that the Father in heaven, our shepherd, Yahweh the shepherd, he said that the birds, they don't worry about a home. He provides for them. The flowers, they don't worry about clothes because he's made them beautiful already. The Lord, our shepherd, has provided everything that we need. I lack nothing. Some of us today are sitting in an anxious mode because we think we're lacking all kinds of things, and the shepherd says, you lack nothing. I've taken care of it all. You're well fed. You're well clothed. I've put you where you are. You may be in a situation today that feels isolated, alone. I'm needing direction. I'm not sure what to do. Take heart today and remember, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need right now in this moment. But it's not just he's giving you and providing for you in this moment. He also, the shepherd, number two, is present. He's present with you. Look at what he says in verse 4. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Every year, while my kids were little, growing up, even into their early college years, we would go to one of my most favorite spots in all the world. I love Gatlinburg. I don't get on the Strip. We try to get up in the mountains somewhere. We find a little cabin up in there, and then we end up in the place that a blue million people always end up on the same day. Cade's Cove. That beautiful valley. Where if you don't get there at the right time, you're 2-3 hours sitting in a line to make that 11-mile loop. You can get out and go hike it. It's beautiful. You know, a valley sits between peaks. You can hike to Abram Falls. You can go to the old homestead. You can see the old church. Listen, people flock to that valley. They want to see it. They love its beauty. But we all stand around and go, boy, I'm glad I didn't live that time. I kind of enjoy where I am. You know, valleys were dangerous places. You know why a valley is a dangerous place, especially in this passage? Because from high ground, wolves, bears, lions, tigers, oh my, all those things look down on sheep in the valley. Robbers from on high, thieves who see on high. And the scripture tells us, he says, listen, you walk with me through that valley, that dark place. You don't realize the way you get there is on the path of righteousness that the Lord has already designed. That path that he designed, that he set you on, leads you through that valley. What we tend to forget, though, is this. How do you have a shadow? There has to be a light still, right? That light has to cast that shadow. And what we end up doing in the beautiful valley where there's green pastures, there's still waters, the one who is with me, who is guiding me, we get our eyes on the shadow. And we forget that the one who cast all the light is still guiding us. He's still with us. Listen, if the shadow is in front of you, that means he is guiding you from behind. If that shadow is behind you and you're turning around looking at the shadow rather than keeping your eyes on the light, you better believe you're going to get nervous. You see, he's pointing us here. And he says, listen, your shadow, your shepherd, he's designed the valley. He's designed the path. He's provided for you everything you need. Keep your eyes on the shepherd. Anytime you and I get our eyes off the shepherd, you know what happens to the sheep? We wander off. We start wandering off. We may not mean to wander off, but we just start going our own way. It's what the scripture begins to help us to see. The scripture also tells us here, he says, even though I walk through that valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know why? You are with me. Right now, I would like to, if I could, almost make eye contact with each of you in some way. I don't care where you are. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you've surrendered, you've submitted your life to him, and he is your shepherd. He is with you right now. The place that you're sitting in, where you feel all alone, I want you to know he's with you. When Noah was in the ark, his presence was with him. When Daniel was in a lion's den, his presence was with him. When Shadrach and Meshach, Abednego, were in the fiery furnace, his presence was with him. When Paul and Silas were in a jail, chained up, singing praises, his spirit was there. Folks, you're not alone. Your shepherd will not leave you. He doesn't leave his sheep. In fact, he has a rod, a short little stick that he beat off the lion and the bear with, the scriptures tells us. He carried a staff, a long rod that had a crook on it that helped him to shape and push along. And if a sheep got in trouble, he could turn that crook over and hook it around his neck and pull it back up to safety. His rod was for protection. His crook, his staff was for comfort. Do you know what the Lord God has given you and I? This is what he's given us. He's given us his word to protect us, to comfort us, to guide us, to encourage us. He's given this to us. This is his gift to us to help us guide along the paths of righteousness that he has planned for us in advance. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, the scripture tells us. Do you know he's also given the Holy Spirit to reside within you? He's given you his word. He's given the Holy Spirit. You know what the Holy Spirit does? He reminds us of everything that Jesus said. He reminds us of the word to call us back to that paths of righteousness. He's given us the body. These are the ways that he walks alongside us. These are the gifts that he's given us as a church. Listen, I don't want us to forget that because the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I don't want us to forget that the Lord is my shepherd. I will not fear. I will be comforted. You know why? Because he is with me. He is with you today. He's with you. Notice the third thing quickly is that he also prepares. The shepherd prepares. Verse 5, the scene shifts a little bit. We don't know exactly when Psalm 23 was written. We don't have an idea. Many people think that it was written at the end of his life because there's two different pictures here. And this picture, notice how it shifts a little bit. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Many think, okay, he's writing this at the end of his life. He's remembering at the beginning when he was a shepherd, and now he is a shepherd warrior. The shepherd king is a warrior, and the picture is of a table that's on a battlefield. In the day and time in which this was written, when armies would come out to battle and they'd come out to fight, the kings would go into battle with their armies. The king may not be on the front line. He's on the second or the third line. So he can still see the battlefield. He can give direction. He can guard. He will know which way to begin to, things need to turn. When whichever army wins the battle, typically what would end up happening is they would ask for the king to be taken alive and his envoys. They would bring them back shackled and chained, and they would set up a table in the presence of their enemies on the battlefield. And they would begin to feast. It's almost like a taunt. But really, it is wanting the enemy to know you've been vanquished. The foe has died. Really, they would eat to overflow. The cup of wine would be poured, and it would be overflowing. No rationing here, because it was a very clear sign and symbol to the one who had been defeated. You're done. You don't have the power. The blessing of the Lord, the anointing of the Lord is on this king. And this is what he's wanting us to begin to see here, to begin to understand. Notice something here that is very important here. He starts out verse 5. Look at verse 5, if you will. In verse 5, he says, you prepare a table. You prepare a table. You remember who this psalm is about? Yahweh, the Lord. In the scripture, and maybe even in your own life, if you've got enough money, you pay for other people to do things. Remember in Luke 15, the parable of the lost son? The prodigal son, he comes back, and the dad sees him, runs to him, kisses him, looks at his servant, and he says, go kill the lamb, prepare a feast, get the table set. David says, our shepherd, he does the work. He's the one that prepares the feast. He's the one that has vanquished the foe. He is the one who has anointed the king's head. He's the one that sets the table. He's the one that pours the cup. He's the one that sets the table with the feast overflowing. This should remind us a little bit back to Psalm 2. Last week, if you were here and we read Psalm 2, and Jordan preached that, you remember the king with the iron of rod, the wrought iron, and he would smash and crush the nations. They would be defeated by the anointed one. This is exactly what David's saying here. He said, the anointed one of God has defeated the enemies, and now he has set a table, a feast. Folks, this ought to point us to a room in the New Testament that we call the upper room, where a table was set with simple food elements to remind them of their shepherd who led them for 40 years when they lacked nothing. Lacked nothing. When Jesus took those elements and he of the Passover Supper and he redefined them and he said, listen, this is my body broken. This is my blood spilled. This is the new covenant. You know what he was doing right here? He was causing them to remember that their shepherd provides. That your shepherd, he was always with you. Your shepherd, he prepared the way. In fact, he even prepared the way for this. And Jesus is telling them in that moment, hey, listen, don't be afraid. You remember that in John 14? Let not your heart be troubled. He says, listen, I am going to prepare a way for you. Did you realize that Jesus got on a cross and prepared a way that you and I could never prepare? He fought a battle on that night, the night before the decisive battle that defeated our enemy, the enemy of the Lord. He said, listen, I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare the way. They didn't realize that tomorrow he was going to die on a cross for my sin and for your sin, for all of those who have surrendered their life to Christ. They couldn't grasp that. And yet he said, don't be afraid. I'm going to prepare a place. And you know what he was doing? He not only was he pointing to the cross, he was pointing that there's going to be a day when there's going to be another feast. Yeah. When all the sheep of the shepherd are going to be in heaven and we're going to be around the marriage feast of the Lamb that only the shepherd would have been able to prepare. Folks, do you realize that you and I could not prepare anything for our paths of righteousness? There's nothing right in us. It's only Christ that could do that when he died on the cross for us. That's it. That's the only thing that we have. Father, you provided. Lord, you walked it. Lord, you prepared it. And now we receive that. This is what he's called us to. This is what he's wanting us to see. When we think about it and we begin to realize that that cross became the rod of God where punishment was meted out to the enemy, That cross became the staff of God where comfort and peace and encouragement come to the sheep. This is what he's wanting us to see. Where Jesus took the cup of wrath that had been building up since the time of the garden. It was filling up, and Jesus took the cup and he drank it. And because he drank the cup of wrath, my cup and your cup now overflows with provision, with purpose, with the presence of God, with the peace of God. And as sheep, he says, you don't have to run around. You don't have to worry about figuring it out. I've designed the paths of right living for you. I've designed it. I'm going to walk with you on it. You trust me for your food, your water, your rest, your Sabbath. I have it. Folks, I want to tell you, there's a word in there for someone today. There's a word in that somewhere for you today. Where you've been struggling, you've been wandering, and all of a sudden, the shepherd says, rest. Rest. You remember the passage back in Luke 15 again about the shepherd who had 100 sheep and one of them wandered. What did the shepherd do? Well, because he was a sheep, he left the 99 to go find his wandering one. Folks, today someone in here is probably wandering. And you think you wandered in here. Can I tell you, you didn't wander in here? The shepherd, in fact, look at the last thing, number four, that I want you to see. Because the Lord is my shepherd, my heart overflows, and this shepherd pursues us. Look at verse 6. The shepherd pursues us. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Quickly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this passage, but on this verse, but I have to go back to the Hebrew part again because this is very important. The phrase, shall follow me, the phrase, shall follow me in verse 6, is much better translated, pursues. Pursues. If you look in the original language, that is a word that means pursues. Not just follow me. Do you catch what he's saying here? The shepherd pursues you with goodness. You know, we've just come out of a series in the book of James. James chapter 1, I think it's somewhere around verse 7. James chapter 1, verse 7 says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. Did you realize this is going to take a radical shift? Sheep, hear me. The situation that you're in is a good situation because it has come down from the Father above. Why? Because it is good for you. I don't understand how it's good, but if we could see from the perspective of the Father who knows your path of righteousness that he's put you on, we would go, oh. And you know what he calls us to do right here? He says, listen, you take my good gift and you take it. Though it may feel dark, it feel lonely, you're not sure what to do, you trust me because I've brought you to green pastures. I've brought you to still waters. And you follow me. For my name's sake, I'm not going to leave you. Did you realize that the Lord God, his name is on the line and he will not leave you? You know why? Because it's for his glory. He sent his son to die for you. For me. For the glory of God. He will not leave you. That would be a spot for preach, brother. Amen. Something. Amen. That's a preaching point right there. This is what he's called us. And he says, surely goodness and mercy. You know, grace is a gift, something that's given to us that we can't earn, we don't deserve it. Mercy is something that is withheld from us that we actually deserve. A punishment. Sheep of God. Did you catch this? He says, thou shepherd pursues you. He didn't say, hey, pack your car up. You're 18. You're headed to college. Go chart your own path. He says, no, I'm with you. In fact, I'm pursuing you with goodness and mercy. When I want you to hear me. I know Paul said it first, can I join the chorus and say I'm the chief among sinners? And yet the scripture says he pursues me with mercy. He chases after me with goodness and mercy. Sheep, that's what your shepherd does. That's what your shepherd does. You who are in the flock of God, that's what he does. He pursues you. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to see a shepherd or literally like a flock of sheep. Today, if you haven't ever got to watch this, I want you to go on YouTube and you can put this in. You can see it. They even have drone shots of it. It's incredible where you have big herds of sheep and they have one dog. Maybe a Pyrenees, maybe an Australian Shepherd, some German Shepherd, any type of herding dog. And that one dog can take literally 100, 200 sheep. And just from behind it, he's not chasing them to jump on them and eat them. He's pursuing them. And in his pursuit, all he's doing is he's guiding them. He's leading them. You know where he's leading them to? Green pastures, still water. Listen, today, you've been pursued in here. The Lord God, the shepherd of your soul, has brought you here. You think you wandered in. Some of you feel like you've been driven in. But in goodness and mercy, he's brought you here to tell you, rest. Come to me, all who labor, who are heavy burdened. You've been trying to put your faith in all kinds of things. Some of you, you've come in here and you go, I haven't believed anything about the Lord Jesus. In fact, I thought it was kind of crazy. But today, there's something that has stirred. That's not been cool music. That's not been preaching. That's, well, I think the Lord uses those things. But that's the Holy Spirit of God who has been pursuing you today. Some of you today, you're that one. You're in the 99, you're in the 100, but you're the one of the 100. And you've wandered off. And you know what? The Lord Jesus has pursued you. Your shepherd has pursued you. And he's brought you to the body, to the flock, where green pastures and quiet waters are. And he's asked you, he's saying, just rest. Quit running. Quit striving. Quit looking. Quit wondering. I know. I got you. Gotcha. You know what? That's good news, isn't it? It's only good news, though, because we, as his sheep, have heard bad news before. You know what the sad thing is that not all people are his sheep. We don't believe that everyone goes to heaven. You know why? Because the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus himself, this points forward, this passage points forward to Jesus. And I want you to see what Jesus had to say in the book of John. John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. Jesus said this. Jesus said, my sheep, so if he has sheep, my sheep, that must mean there are other sheep that aren't his. He says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Listen, I could throw another P in here and say that your shepherd is mighty powerful. That's a preaching point. Because as the great shepherd, nothing can snatch his sheep out of his hand. Some of you today, you need that shepherd. You don't know him. You're wandering. You've run off. You're alone. You feel like you're being overtaken. You're being eaten alive. I got questions. I need direction. Somebody tell me. That's what the Lord has brought you here for today. To point you to his son, Jesus. That all who would come to him won't be turned away. All that he has called to salvation, the Lord says he'll never leave. He'll never forsake. Our part is to respond in faith to him today. Kyle, how do I do that? Well, one, you pray and ask the Lord, God, I've trusted in all kinds of things, but today I want to follow you. I ask you to change my life from the inside out. Transform me. I give you everything I know to give you. However it is that you need to say that. Romans chapter 10 says that if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and we confess him with our mouth that he is Lord, we'll be saved. Sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? He's made it that way. He's made it very simple. That's what it takes. And today, I believe there are some in here. If you pray that prayer, I want to ask you to come and let me know afterwards. You know what I want to do? I want to rejoice with you. I want to help you know what the next step is. Some of you in here today, you're followers of Christ, you're sheep, and you've been wandering from your shepherd. And it's caused doubt, concern, darkness, aloneness. I don't know what to do. Here's what you do. You let him lead you back to green pastures, still waters. He's pursuing you today. Jesus, I love you and I thank you. It is a privilege and a great honor to be your children. And I ask that today you would birth more children into your kingdom, into your flock. Father, I magnify you today. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask all of these things. Amen. Today, band, as you're coming up,